Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I do these funerals, and that's where I meet all the radio listeners. And one man who did not stay for the funeral service said, Pastor Rader, I want you to know I listen to you every Sunday on the radio. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And he said, before he left, he said, hey, my wife's an invalid, and I got to get back to her right now, and I'm a Roman Catholic, and I just thank you that you're on the radio. And he left. Then he came back. He came back and said, I want you to know I'm trusting only Jesus Christ for salvation. He said, I want you to know I listen. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, wonderful news. And I prayed for us. We stopped. We prayed together. And I prayed for his wife at that time. And I'm sure he's going to be listening to this radio broadcast. And I thank God for you. I really do. Salvation is full and it's free and it's absolute. And it is not man-centered. It's grace. It is Christ-centered. Otherwise, it's not salvation at all. You need to understand that. And I'm going to preach this morning, I trust, a passage of Scripture so that you will understand. Now, by the way, he also told me, you know, I've seen your church's commercial on the television. He said, you're not as ugly as you say you are. And I thank you very much for that. There are a lot of people, and I shared this last week, but let me go a step further. There are a lot of people that are born again in this area, and they're not plugged into a church. Hence the brochure that I'm going to hand out tonight that has been written, and I'm preaching through on Sunday night. You need to be here. 10 Bible reasons for joining the church. All right, but there are a lot of people that way. And there are a lot of people that used to come here. I was with Dr. Flanders, and he said, man, everybody knows you. I said, well, they used to come to Fundamental. And then the second person I said that about, I realized a lot of people used to come here. Now, you could get discouraged about that, but the same was true in Jesus' day. And there was even a Judas in his 12 that fell away. And the same was true in the early church. But don't get discouraged in that. Here's the good news. Even though they may not come here anymore, we reach them for Christ. They're going to heaven. Whether they're plugged in and growing or not, that's another step. But at least they've gotten saved. Thank God for that. And don't give up on trying to get them involved and trying to get them into church and get them growing. Truth is, we couldn't fit 10 buildings this size. We would overflow in the 35 years of people that used to come here. And some of them, they all still call for funerals, and they all still call for weddings, and they all still call when their wife leaves them or their husband leaves them, and it's still a ministry, and we're still reaching out to them, and it's outside these four walls. But the fact is, I want to preach on salvation this morning, and I'm praying there's no interruptions. Yesterday when I was preaching the funeral, somebody's cell phone went off right at the improper time. And as Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story, it was my cell phone. it was out in the coat rack. I recognized the ringer. And it was my sister, Christy, that called me during the funeral service. And Clint was walking around trying to find whose cell phone it was. And it was mine. The technology doesn't do me a lot of good. Hebrews chapter 6. Turn there if you would. Hebrews and chapter 6. Some would tell you this is a difficult passage of Scripture concerning salvation. There are many of them. In fact, I could nail it down to two passages. And Philippians in chapter 2, we may get over there this morning. It's not difficult at all to understand. You read it in its context and quit looking at a cliche that is found in one verse and read it in its context. It's completely crystal clear. And Hebrews chapter 6 is no different. I used to think, I can remember in Bible college thinking, man, what is the deal with this passage? I know the whole Bible teaches once you're saved forever. What about this passage? I mean, it's so difficult. And I read different commentaries written by different people from different backgrounds. That's the trouble with those commentaries. And they're not dependent on the Bible. Instead, they fall back into denominational dogma. And I used to think this was a difficult passage. I got over it a long time ago until I studied the Scripture. Until I studied Hebrews chapter 6 and read what it says. It's not difficult at all. And I want to preach it to you this morning so that you understand. Listen, we have eternal life. I stand in the mainstream of New Testament Christianity. I stand in the shadow of men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Dwight L. Moody, J. Frank Norris, John R. Rice, William Sunday, men who knew that the Bible preached and taught, and they preached it, once you're saved forever. The truth is this. If you say we have something to do with it as far as hanging on, well, I understand that's human reasoning. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And he understood. That's why Jesus went to the cross. We couldn't get it done. We could not do it. We have the Old Testament law, and the law was a schoolmaster. That's what Galatians teaches us. It's to teach us we need a Savior. Because there'd be a man, and it'd be many among us, we'd have our thumbs in our lapels, and we'd say, once we got to heaven, look what we did. Or, man, I struggled, but I made it, lifted myself up by my own bootstraps. Oh, no, 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 no. You're saying salvation's works, and salvation is not works. That is a man-centered salvation. Tim Rader didn't save Tim Rader. Jesus Christ did. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. I've trusted him for eternal life. The Bible tells us that one of the greatest verses in the Bible, everybody knows it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not temporary life. Not you get it and you lose it. Oh my goodness, God used the wrong word. Everlasting. He used the wrong word. Eternal. No, God used the right word. That moment you got born again, you started to live forever. You were quickened spiritually, and you started to live your eternal life, never going to experience the second death. Hebrews in chapter 6. Let's go there real quickly. Hebrews in chapter 6. So you see, it's good news. It's forgiven forever. It's not forgiven temporarily. It's not you get saved and later because you made a mistake, God pulls the rug out from underneath you. And that's not it. It's not your name is written down in temporary ink in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not how it works. When you get born again, you're recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You receive the Savior. I preach this all the time. You know this. You got the imputed righteousness of none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that's why you're going to God's heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let me give you some background. The book of Hebrews is all about Christ. It's all about, you want to learn about Jesus Christ, you study the book of Hebrews. It's all about Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus Christ, only Jesus, is the Savior of the world. And he says here in chapter 6, in verse 1, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it together. I won't skip anything. I challenge you, man, if you don't believe me, you study. You study. You read the Word of God. It says in Hebrews in chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The principles of the doctrine, foundational truths of the doctrine of Christ, that would include, that would be salvation. Let us go on unto perfection or maturity. He's talking to believers, unto completeness. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You don't need to keep going back to that. Of the doctrine of baptism, Old Testament washings, John the Baptist baptisms, others that were baptized, and of course the first century church. And on laying of hands, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You repented, you got saved, you got baptized. You don't need to keep going back and doing that over and over again. That is what he is saying in Hebrews chapter 6. Let me prove it to you. But listen, grammatically, this is what he's saying. You don't have to keep going back and getting saved all over again. And therefore having to get baptized, rebaptized, and rebaptized. Jesus said you must be born again. Not you must be born again and again and again. Paul wrote unto the church of Corinth, the most carnal church in the New Testament, as far as the writings of the New Testament are concerned, and he never one time told them, the greatest soul winner of all time, that they had to get saved a second time. Never one time. Paul said, that's a baby Christian. That's somebody that doesn't understand. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you don't have to go back to that. You need to move on unto perfection or maturity or completeness. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, grow up. Look what it says over in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just the first two verses. You got to get this right, by the way. This is not a rehearsal. You only get one life. It's not going to be. There's not going to be a do-over. Don't miss salvation. Get born again. Receive Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross and the shed blood of the Savior, the living God, who rose again on the third day. Receive Him as your Savior. Receive Him in your life. Repenting of your sin. And get born into the family of God. And he's writing, the writer of Hebrews is concerned. He's saying, don't keep going back to that over and over again. You're going to continue to sin. But you need to grow in such a way that you sin less and less. You'll never be sinless here on this earth. We have a sinless Savior. But you keep on growing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, and even as babes, unto babes in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being a small church. There is something wrong with staying a small church. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian. There is something wrong with staying a baby Christian. And someone who is not grounded in the Scriptures and has a walk with God, you're going to continually doubt your salvation. You're going to continue to go through life and you'll stumble. You say, man, I don't know if I'm really saved. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you got to get past that. Paul says to the church of Corinth, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. He says, you're carnal. And goes on and it just says, you got to climb down from your high chairs. You need to grow as a babe in Christ. That's what Hebrews, the beginning of Hebrews and chapter 6 is saying. Don't return unto those first principles. Go on and be something for God. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, just a single verse. 18th verse of chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter says to born-again believers, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 6, in the context, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, grow up. Don't keep returning to those first principles. Grow up. You got that foundation? Now you build your life for the glory of God. You're born once physically, and you're born once spiritually. You don't have to get born a second time physically. That's what Nicodemus was asking Jesus about. What do you mean? I go back into my mother's womb and get born again? Jesus said, no. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born again into the family of God. And you don't need to be born again a third time. That doesn't make any kind of sense. None whatsoever. I know, humanly, that makes some sense. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And by the way, if you could have made it, Jesus didn't need to come. The law would have been good enough. But we could not attain. Hebrews chapter 6 again, verse 3. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now understand grammatically what's being said here. The writer of Hebrews, under inspiration, says, I'll paraphrase it and I'm going to read it again. Because everything he describes there is someone who's born again. Someone who has tasted of the heavenly gift, made a partaker of the Holy Ghost, tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Paul is saying, if it's Paul, whoever the writer of Hebrews is saying, in Hebrews chapter 6, you've got to get beyond the original steps, the original just salvation thing. If you don't start to grow, you're going to stay a babe. You're going to be stunted. Every time there's a tragedy in your life, you're going to go back and think you need to get saved again. If you were never saved, get saved. If you are saved, you need to build on that. You never forget it. You just build on that. And then he goes on to say, after he says, grow up, he says, my own words, get over yourself. Get over your own good works. Get over being self-absorbed. It's not a man-centered salvation. He said, after you get saved, it's impossible for those who are truly born again to get born again a third time. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 6 is saying. It's exactly. Look at the grammar of the sentence structure here. It's impossible for those. By the way, and if it is possible, that's what the writer of Hebrews 6 says, then those of you that lost your salvation, you can't get saved. Because Christ was crucified once. Hebrews chapter 10. One time he offered himself and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Those that believe you got to get saved, you can lose your salvation, get saved all over again. The writer of Hebrews is smacking them right between the eyes and saying, if you believe that, you carry that through. You can't get saved a third time. Because Jesus only died one time. And what Jesus did and God the Holy Spirit did in quickening you and baptizing you spiritually into the family of God, that only happens one time. If you lost it, forget it, man. You can't get it again. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me read it. I'm telling you, that's exactly what it's saying. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If, there's the if. You might draw that word if, circle it, and draw it up to the word impossible and circle that. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Jesus died only once. Get over your good works. So many think the good works are going to get them to heaven. Say, oh, I believe that Jesus is how I get born again. I got to keep doing good or I lose my salvation. You're making it worse. You can't color it any way other than that. If you're saying I got saved here and I got to keep working for God in order to keep my salvation, that's works. How do you define works? You know, you get saved by grace and you're kept by the power of God, according to Peter, and you're kept in grace. You grow. If you read your Bible, you understand that's how it works. That's exactly what is going on. None of us, anybody here sinless this morning? Anybody here go all last week and didn't commit a sin? You see, if you did, and if you can lose your salvation, you better get saved again. That doesn't mean it makes sense. He said, I had eternal life, not temporary life. He said, I'm saved forever. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. You know, they're buried in the deepest sea. They're gone forever. He said, I'm kept in his hand. He said, in Jesus Christ, in John chapter 6 and verse 36, I'll in no wise be cast out. And he said, nothing and no one can take me from the hand of God. He said in Romans in chapter 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Abstract or physical, nothing. Not even death. Not even hell. No one can separate me from Christ. Paul said, I am persuaded that everything that I've committed unto Christ, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, man, tie me up and beat me with a stick. It's salvation by grace. That's good news. That is good news. I don't have time to go to Hebrews 10. Read it later. Bulls and goats didn't get it done. So a Savior came. He shed his blood. And he did it. And the writer of Hebrews makes it an emphasis again there. And he did it one time. Doesn't have to happen again. Let me read everything here again. Let me just continue in verse 6. If they shall fall away to renew, it's impossible to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, verses 7, 8, and 9 is just simply saying there's the saved and there's the lost. And there is no in between. And you either get saved and stay saved because it's grace, or you're lost and you need to get saved. Verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God is righteous. Get over your works. Get over yourself. Verses 9, 10, 11. We don't have time to read everything I wanted to read here. It's talking about grow up, get over your good works, and grow out. That's growing in grace. That's making a difference. You're not saved by good works, but after you get born again, there is good works. You start to mature in the faith and you understand it isn't all about me. And it isn't all about blessings. God bless me and God take care of me and God help me in my health. And it's so much more than that. It's about honoring God and taking other people to heaven and working together in the cause of world evangelism. Everybody that tithes at Fundamental Baptist Church, the souls that got saved yesterday, God knows. You're involved in that. That is our ministry. You'll be rewarded accordingly. That is wonderful. God, it says here, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. You're not saved by good works, but God knows the good works that you're doing. And he's going to help you, and he's going to bless you as you grow. One of the men, it just happened yesterday, fresh in my mind, a bigger man there, said he likes and enjoys listening to the radio broadcast, a different man, because I'm happy. And he said that's attractive. That's his word. Appealing. We're supposed to be happy warriors. Don't walk around with you looking down in the mud of the earth and, oh, me, and everything's wrong, and everybody's mad at me. And man, you're not going to lead anybody to Christ. You're wrong. That is wrong-spirited. That is wrong-headed. You're not even being used of God. You're pointing people away from God. If you tell unsaved people everybody's problems that are in the family of God, you're wrong. You're doing a disservice. That's almost blasphemous. You're doing a disservice to what Christ did on the cross and did for you if you're born again. See, grow out your salvation. Work it to the surface. You know, but you need to shine for the glory of God. I'm out of time. Go to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm not quite out of time. I can't stop right there. But Titus chapter 3. So forget about the clock for just a minute, all right? Titus in chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. God saved you and has left you here in this earth to win others to Christ. Bottom line, you do that by magnifying Jesus Christ in your life. Maintain good works. Grow in grace. Be that happy warrior. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. I cannot stop this message without reading the last bunch of verses here because it's all in context. You understand that? I know that what I'm preaching to you this morning is the gospel truth. I know that what I'm preaching you this morning about eternal life and eternal security is the absolute truth from the immutable God of heaven in his unchanging, recorded in Holy Writ, in his unchanging word. I know it for a fact. I've studied it, and I know what the Bible says. And we are going to be encouraged in it in these last several verses in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 6, grow up. Get past your salvation. It's the baby that's tossed to and fro with every event that happens in life. You build on that foundation. You don't need to get born again a third time or a fourth time or a tenth time. You see, you get born again, you get born in the family of God, you grow up, and then you grow out. You start to live for God. Well, before that, you get over yourself. Don't keep a list with God on all of your good works because you have not done enough, nor have I. Don't ever be so, the audacity of thinking you're impressing God by punching a time clock when he gave everything and the best he had. The audacity of thinking you earn your salvation, to think that somehow you're good enough. Are you kidding me? And then in Hebrews in chapter 6, he says, we have an anchor. An anchor for the soul. We have a hope. It might be that you're here this morning and you have been contemplating giving up on living for God. It might be that you've been beaten down of late and overwhelmed with the storms and the pressures of life and you've contemplated throwing in the towel. There's an anchor for your soul. There's a hope. It says here in verse 13, when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There's a surety. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Promise he made to Abraham. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That was Levitical law. So a man would make a promise and he'd promise in the name of somebody that was greater than himself, and then that was enough. And sometimes they'd make a public oath. God did that for salvation, concerning the salvation of grace that is provided for all of mankind. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. That's us. He's the child of promise. He's the Messiah. God wants you to know for sure that you're saved. It says, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, encouragement, strong one, who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And that's what Jesus did, if you know your Bible, into the Holy of Holies. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, that's Jesus, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's why it says in the next chapter, he's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. We have a great high priest. Ladies and gentlemen, he's my anchor. He's my hope, surety. That's what that word hope means. It's an absolute. Two immutable things. The promise of God and the oath of God. We have a God. We have God's word. You don't have to get saved. You can't lose your salvation. You don't need to lose your. You'll never lose your salvation if you got saved. Are there people that say they're saved and not? Yes. Yes, that's a danger. And they know they're deceiving themselves. They understand that. That's why they don't have an anchor. That's why they have to keep going back. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't continue on as a babe in Christ. Study the word of God. It's not a man-centered salvation, or the law would have been enough. It's grace. You get saved, then you build your life for the glory of God. Maintain good works. Grow out, grow up, do more for God. Get anchored. I've been through a lot of tough times in my life. I'm sure there are people who have been through tougher times. I don't look at myself as some kind of spiritual martyr. I believe God has protected me from so much. So much. I know he has. Things I don't even know about, physically, spiritually. My God's good. But I have wept. I do know what tears are. I have been disappointed. I've disappointed God. But I have an anchor. I have a surety, a hope, an anchor of the soul. His name is Jesus. Now, listen, you want to grow? Make sure you're saved. That is number one. It's not hard. It's not a hope-so kind of thing. God isn't going to deceive you. It's you, a sinner, repenting and receiving the Savior, the only Savior, the one Son of God, who died on the cross in your place and mine, and then rose again on the third day. Your sins were on his body when he hung on the cross. He bled out to make blood atonement for your sin. He fulfilled the Old Testament law so we could know we're saved. He's our anchor. Is he your anchor this morning?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.